Let's call to order the this meeting. This is the special meeting of the Improvements Committee for January 11th. First order of business is to consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Any objections?
I concur.
Hearing no objections, let's move on to comments from the public. Amelia, any hands or chats?
Nope.
Good. So we are on to the monthly improvement committee update.
Hey, Randy, this is Mike. I was curious, can we move item 7 up to the top? We have our district engineer online, and I didn't want to have him sit through the entire committee meeting.
I don't know. Are we paying him by the hour, or is
by
this
the minute?
Absolutely.
All right.
You know, that's not fair. I object. No.
If we're paying them by the hour, let's move them to the front of the class.
Okay. And as you had remembered, I had brought a report on the current state of the district engineer task orders to the last meeting in November. And I've received five proposals from our district engineer to work on to do the Grandless Diversion Safety Improvements design, the lift station rehabilitation, which would consist of design and support services for construction for Alameda, Starter Shack, and Lift 3B. Lift station emergency power design for both the FAA and Cantova stations. And then a task order for the Rio Oso pressure system upgrade, basis of design. This is what I've been talking about the last, I don't know, year, I guess, we want to determine the best path forward for the future of this station and what we're going to need to do in the future to have this station be more of a resilient pump station, addressing the pressurization modus operandi, and do we have a third pump, and how do we house everything? So it was basically a basis of design, more of like a study. And then we have lift station 6B construction assistance when that construction starts to have, it was an estimate of what it would take to have our district engineer be a part of that process. So I've got these five task orders submitted by our district engineer, utilizing Dominicelli and Associates to perform these tasks. We do enjoy a substantially reduced fee, and we benefit from the familiarity of our district engineer through our knowledge of our district infrastructure. While district code does require an RFP process for procurement of professional services contracts over $25,000, the district has successfully utilized a competitive process for obtaining our district engineer for professional services. I discussed this with our attorney, and he's okay with utilizing the district engineer for these tasks. This is basically, you know, awarding these task orders to the district engineer as well within historical standard practice. Now I would argue within the reasonable scope of our district engineer to accomplish. So these are perfect projects for our district engineer. Especially given, you know, their expertise in water and wastewater systems, small water and wastewater systems. I think it makes sense from a procurement standpoint. And so what I'm requesting is that the improvements committee direct me to bring these five task orders to the board for approval on the consent calendar at the next meeting, so we can get these projects started. Four of these tasks are approved through our CIP plan and budgeted. The fifth task is a portion of that supports inspection of development provided infrastructure and improvements, falls under development, item E. So that's kind of the long and the short of it. These are things that I've been wanting to get started, and we're just ready to get started on these tasks. These tasks support what I would say the infrastructure catch-up that the district is performing right now for the next couple of years, and will definitely support those efforts to provide a more resilient system than we have now, trying to address some of the weak points of our system. And these task orders clearly support that. And I believe Joe is on the Zoom call. If there's any questions that anybody had directly for Joe, our district engineer.
Yeah, I'm on with you guys. And yeah, anything anybody wants to talk about on any of these. And I also have Daryl here for anything really specific on things like the diversion structure and improvement. So yeah, we're available.
So all of these amounts, the contracts amounts are not to exceed amounts, right? We'll be getting billed the actual time spent on the tasks. Is that, am I reading this right?
That's correct. That's time and materials, not to exceed amounts.
And then the one that hasn't been budgeted yet, the Residence West, do we have a budget for that, or it's just
Emil, you want to scroll down to the supporting memo? I think it's Residence. Is it Residence West? We don't have any action on that yet.
Okay, so Residence West isn't on here.
Go to 1122-2022 District Engineer Task Orders.
Okay.
And then scroll down. There it is. Now keep going.
So this is just part of your chart as to where we're at.
And yeah,
It's an upcoming one where we don't really have a budget and we're not asking for a contract yet. It's just here to let us know that it's in the works.
Yes, that and the Division of Dam Safety Reporting. We have to have a few meetings before we can get a proposal on that.
All right. Martin, you're more versed than I am in this realm. What say you?
Yeah, when we approved the capital improvement projects, we had a source of funding for each one of these, and some of them, I think, some of the SB 170 stuff didn't necessarily have funding to go through construction. But so these amounts that we're proposing are still within the funds that we have available.
Yeah, Mel, if you want to scroll back to the original task order and the amounts, that just the original memo. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, yeah, these will fall within the amounts that we had budgeted.
Yes.
And Joe's given us a pretty good deal on the Grand Lease Improvements design,
okay.
Especially compared to what we've been seeing from the larger firms. From design costs. So I was happy that they were, you know, that we were able to get such a good price on that.
So we're still, the Grand Lease is one of them that's funded by SB 170, right?
That is correct.
And so my question was, do we have enough funds set aside in the reserves to pay this amount, not considering construction?
Yes, we do. From what I've seen, from the numbers that I am privy to, yes.
Okay. so I think this fee for a grand lease is reasonable, but I'm just, is there any other consultants besides the environmental consultant that we need? So we're not going to have to do any surveying, or I would doubt it, but.
I don't recall surveying being on that scope. And
no, we, yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, we feel there's enough good as-built information, and a lot of it is structural and repairing pipe and whatnot and replacing pipe. Yeah, we'll be fine without surveying on this one. Yeah, environmental for sure, though.
We need. Does the recent inundation of that Granley's make the task more difficult? I suppose it'll be cleaned up by the time you get your plans figured out. Is that right?
There may be some minor additional damage, but I would guess that there wouldn't be anything compounded that we're not already going to replace.
But we can't know if there's more damage till we clean this sucker out.
Right. Yeah.
And do we have a time frame for this?
Schedule this one. We do have I think there's a schedule in the task order. So Amelia, if you want to go down to A, see if you can find there should be a timeline. This is the timeline if everything goes right. Let's keep going. Thought it was after that. Okay, yeah, we got to get past the environmental sub.
I don't know if we're gonna find a timeline.
I thought there was a little like project, not timeline, but more so project length estimate of how long it would take.
How about just the design part?
There's an estimate of the number of hours it takes, but not really a calendar type schedule.
So what's your guess?
Yeah, and this exemption is not going to take long.
You're like a couple months?
What do you think?
Months?
It's not too long. Maybe 2 to 3 months. Because there's some.
I guess
some of the pipe rehab and whatnot. Are we going to have to repair any of the screens, did you think? Are they in good shape?
When I went down there, they looked like they were in fair shape, but I don't know what's happened to them.
All since. There's
mud in there.
Yeah. Hopefully they just need to get cleaned out.
Well, we're either going to hit the construction window for this summer, or we'll have to hit it next summer.
So the environmental is going to take months, 2 months?
No, I don't think if they get an exemption and put together, it shouldn't take too long. I mean, I think the design and environmental could get done pretty much in the same schedule concurrently. So, you know, if we want to get it constructed this year, you know, we can make that happen, but it might be pushing it towards the the end of the work season in the river.
So if we sign a contract in February, March, April, May, you might have plans by May.
Yeah, I think we have plans early summer. I mean, it should be.
Okay.
Got a couple month and a half for bidding and
okay.
Yeah, how long do you think the construction is going to take for all that?
I bet you 4 months at least.
Well, we're not really pouring any concrete, are we? We're just setting a new gate.
Well, I think the thing that'll take the longest is getting the pipe material, you know, if we're replacing some. It looks like some of it could sure use some replacement. I mean, we could try cleaning them up, but some of that pipe that you were showing me, some of the
has a lot of iron nodules on it and corrosion and that sort of thing. We got to do some additional testing perhaps on the pipe thickness to see whether it's in our best interest just to replace the pipe or if we can rehab it.
Okay, well, you answered my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We might get into a procurement pickle with those screens.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have to replace any of those. If all they got is sand in them, you know, it's just a mess to clean them up, but I didn't see anything in there that would have damaged them.
Yeah, when I went down there a month or two ago, the screens actually looked like they were in pretty fair shape. And of course, there's been an inundation event since then. So I don't know if anything got damaged, but hopefully they've survived pretty well.
Yeah. Well, this won't be the first time that thing's filled with sand.
Yeah.
And when we're done with this project, it won't be the last time either, right? The grates that we're putting on are stronger than what's there, but it's the same thing is still going to happen, right?
Yeah,
that's correct. Yes.
Okay, and we've thought about ease of getting in there to clean out, and we're all on board with hinges and whatnot that need to be figured in.
Yeah, there'll be some access hatches through the grating that can be locked, and then we'll either bolt down or weld down the grating itself such that it can't be removed, you know, by somebody not authorized to do so.
Okay. Amelia, are there any public questions or comments?
I do have a comment from John Sullivan.
Okay.
I'm going to go back up to Michael Fritchie's comment about Residences West. The two projects were reconfigured, so Joe's dialed into this. The East has a 62 lot phase one, and then it's got a phase two. The West only has a boundary line adjustment in on it right now with the county. They received it, accepted it, but it's got to go through the process. So we won't have anything further until we crank up the grading plan on the West. Grading plans are in on the East, and improvement plans are in process. So that'll kind of update you on East and West there.
So the scope here in your chart for that work is construction inspection. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, pretty much all these design tasks have bid services and engineering services during construction. And most
the question was on Residences West and the line item that you've got here for future contracts and whatnot. That's not any plan checking or anything. That is that's construction inspection.
Well, I think that it would probably also contain some plan checking. You know, we get a deposit.
That, I guess.
Yeah, there would be.
So put us in the ballpark, John. When this is on the chart, just for to stay on top of it, when should we be serious about negotiating a contract?
Well, we have a we have the East in process. West isn't that far along yet. And neither are the offsite utilities. So I would say April would be a good timeline. Grading plan should be reviewed and out by then. And depending on whether we're able to push dirt around or not will be a function of the conditions of the soil and how fast we can get in there. It's going to be a late construction season the way it's looking.
And that's well, a contract, sure. Randy, that I can that the general manager can. It'll probably be that level that it could be improved in between meetings.
Okay,
it's more nimble, I think.
Than very good.
That's that we're talking about today.
Okay, so what you're asking of the committee today is to move this forward to the board under. Not under a separate agenda item, right?
Yeah, just a consent calendar.
Make these five contracts appear on the consent calendar for the next board meeting.
Right.
I have no problem with that. Martin?
Neither do I.
Okay. Consider it done.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Joe.
All right.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
You bet. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So let's move back up on the agenda to monthly update, which is
thank you. That's me. I will. This is Travis.
May I interrupt you, sir, Travis? Yes. I do have a hand raised. George Santos, I apologize, sir. I didn't see your hand up. I would imagine that you're wanting to comment on the last item.
Yes, that's correct. So you're talking about skipping the RFP process. I'm not too familiar with that, but could you tell me what we're missing? I mean, to me, right now, it sounds like you're skipping, whether I'm right or wrong, the competitive bidding process. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be correct. And we're assigning those tasks to our district engineer that got a contract with the district through a competitive process.
Well, I'll tell you, as a resident, I'm a little uncomfortable with that process. I mean, I don't know anything more than what I'm hearing here, but I think there's definitely a benefit from the competitive bidding process. And, you know, who knows what kind of bids that we're going to get less than this. And we're talking about, you know, what is it, $250,000?
Well, I mean, it's my opinion that all these bids are extremely reasonable, and there's the potential to take several months to go through this process. Maybe not even get any bids, but get bids that are probably much, much higher than these bids. And traditionally, these are tasks that a district engineer could and should do. If it was something like something that takes a little bit more specialized expertise, like a water treatment plant upgrade or a wastewater treatment plant upgrade, that's when you really get your value. And that's something that the district engineer probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing with their level of expertise. But that's something you definitely want to put an RFP out for someone that more specialized engineering. This is very just common, everyday district engineering that it's the perfect cast for a district engineer.
Okay.
I understand. Go ahead. I would add that since these are not to exceed contracts and it's really time and materials, what you're really banking on here is that our district engineer, due to the fact that he's familiar with our system, is going to be more efficient and probably do the work cheaper on a time and materials basis than bringing in an outside engineering firm.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. I understand the idea, but I still am a little uncomfortable for a public agency not going through that process. But, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Just say that. So I won't raise any objections, I think.
Okay, Amelia, anything, anybody else?
No other hands raised.
All right, then. Travis, back to you.
Thank you very much. I'll start off my report with the SB 170 projects. There has been no change or updates in the water treatment plant hypochlorite conversion. We are waiting for the final 100% drawing from HDR, and it's my understanding that that should be coming soon. The conversion for the wastewater plant, at this time, Dewberry, they are sending some of their staff over to look at the facility to get some information so they can start preparing their preliminary design. You just heard all the update about the Grandly Safety's improvements and where that direction is going right now. Moving over to water, right now the water plant one is still down for maintenance, and it looks like as it sits right now, we'll probably be down the rest of this month and also February, getting membrane repairs done and all the maintenance that's required for plant one. And plant two is running at about 720,000 gallons a day, about 500 gallons a minute. I briefly want to talk about the flood event that happened over New Year's Eve day and that weekend. I'm sure everyone's aware that we had probably what you could call a 100-year flood event. As you can see on some of the pictures that were posted, you can see the destruction that happened to the Grandly's Forebay. And as it was stated, we will be needing to do a lot of cleanup. We did open up the 48-inch valve that's on the side for drainage, and it did remove probably about 60% of the sediment that was built up in there. But we will have to, once we will have to get in there and do some cleaning. We're waiting until the weather gets better, so you know, we don't feel it's worth doing any cleaning if we're going to have any more flooding. But hopefully by the end of next week or the last week of this month, we can get in there and take a look to see what we're dealing with. The other issue that we have, Mealy, can you scroll down just a little bit? Those last pictures, those are pictures of the CIA ditch that are close to the forebay. There's pretty much no ditch left. It's all been filled with debris and sand. And once the weather has cleared, Michael is, and we're going to have to sit down with the district with the other entities of the CIA ditch and to figure out which way we want to go in the way of repairing and cleaning up the ditch. One of the issues that we're going to have is over by the forebay, is all of that dirt road is completely gone. It's all down to the rock. So we're going to have to do some repairs just to even get in there to start repairing the forebay. We've looked at it. The CIA ditch sent a representative over there to kind of look at it after it cleared up. And at that point, there was an agreement. Let's talk about this after this big rain event has subsided. So that's probably the direction we're gonna go with that. The other thing that I want to bring up is due to the recent floodings, we had quite a bit of flooding over in the Mobile Village. Part of the understanding that was incorrect, I had quite a bit of complaints from some of the residents there that we weren't doing anything to subside the flooding. But one of the things is that the drainage that actually covers the mobile village is not from that pump station that's at the end of the road. That's actually, their drainage is actually a gravity that runs through a 60-inch valve that runs into a drain that goes under the airport runway and out into the river. And there's a flapper valve there that prevents the water from running backwards. Well, the river was so high, it was preventing that gravity from happening. And I mean, I'm good at my job, but I'm not as good as Mother Nature. So there was literally nothing that we were able to do until it started to subside. So I wanted, you know, I don't know how many complaints got in, but I wanted to let the committee know here that for that particular situation, we were unable to do anything to prevent that from happening because of the height of the river. Also, due to recent floodings, we found some challenges with our subdrain pump stations that actually pump out the water in the levees around the rivers. We are currently working on those. A lot of them are pumps that went bad or that were bad, and my staff is working on those to get those replaced and to get those pumped out. We actually had one subdrain that was completely underwater over at Clementia, and the panel was 3/4 underwater. But actually, once the water subsided on that, those pumps were still working, so good for that. But on a good note on this, we have collected, this says 40 million gallons at the time of this report, it was 40 million gallons, but we've collected over 50 million gallons in both Calero and Chesbro, and Clementia is actually full and spilling. So we have collected quite a bit of water in there that can kind of make up for us not being able to pump at this time. Also too, Amelia, if you can go down to the next page. I'm just gonna skip over to the drainage on the Lake 11. You can see pictures there of what it was like at the peak of the flood. On the picture on the left, that is the country club's pump station building. For those of us that were here in 2017, it was pretty much the same site as it was at that point. And then on the next page, the two pictures after that show what it looked like afterwards. But as you can see in where the barricades are at, that's our new drainage opening. And it did work as it was supposed to. It drained. And we're just waiting for it to kind of dry up a little bit so Lund can finish the task there from the punch list that they have, which is putting the fence around that and putting some grading over that drainage opening. To back up a little bit for the wastewater plant, as it sits right now, the wastewater plant's still off for the season, and you know, Dewberry is coming on site periodically to get information for the HYPO project. The lift station rehabs, Michael just went over there with the task orders on where we're at on those for Alameda, Starter Shack, and 3B lift station. Site development, there, due to the rains, there hasn't been much work going on. There was some drain, there was, you know, basically due to the floods, there was a lot of runoff from those areas, but once it was cleared up, the sweeps that the development people had put in were still there and doing their job, you know, once all of the flooding water has subsided. So, and with the retreats, they're working with our staff on a punch list. We gave them a punch list. They are working with our staff on getting that completed. And as that gets more completed, we will be updating as necessary. Tractor Supply, we have given them their water meter. They were up for one of their final inspections through the city. So they're pretty close to being done with that project there. The Circle K and the Marietta Gardens, there really isn't much update from that. But I also want to note that on the time, you know, the weekend that staff was here dealing with these floods, I want to commend them. There was a lot of work there. Staff was really, really good. We came close, but we prevented any sewage spills in the district. And we there were some weaknesses that were identified, but staff did an outstanding job to make sure that drainages were trying to kept clear, and we didn't do any, we didn't have any sewer spills or anything. So I want to give them a big thank you. Other than that, I'm done with my report. If anyone has any questions.
I think we owe your staff, everyone owes them a big congratulations on the work that they did. And I don't believe it's over. I understand this next storm coming in is going to be substantial also. I only have, I got a couple questions. The fact that the CIA ditch is filled and not flowing, how does that affect our pumping of it? Ability. I thought our pipes for the pumps went down into the forebay. Is that not, am I wrong?
No, the pipes are in the forebay, and the CIA ditch starts after the forebay. So the first task that we're going to do is we're going to get the forebay cleaned, and so that we will be able to start pumping into our lakes for water once the water in the river is within our acceptable limits for pumping. The CIA ditch starts after that, and literally from the concrete wall, probably 300-400 yards down is completely filled with dirt. The challenge for that would be how we're going to go about getting that cleaned out, because we want to be able to get that ditch available to be able to start sending water to the ranchers as soon as possible, because they, you know, at some point they're going to be needing their water too.
Sure. And then on the Lake 11, our system worked to the extent that it got rid of the water up to the top of the inflow structure. If we hadn't shut off that other intake that's actually out in the lake, would it have drained through the old system and the lake level would be, what, 4 or 5 feet below where it is now? Or
this is me, this is Mike Randy. It's We set that at the same elevation.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah. it's doing the same job that was being done by the old structure, but it just doesn't leak.
That's correct. And the reason we set it at the same elevation is because that was the accepted design way back when.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Thank you. Martin.
No, I want to add my thanks to the staff to your job well done. It was kind of a hectic situation and they stepped up to the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will relay that to my staff.
I think we've got an agenda item to further discuss that, but excuse me, Amelia, any hands or chats?
John Sullivan.
John.
Yeah, I want to jump in here and tell Travis and his team a big thank you, but I have to also say that it's with an amazing amount of great attitude as well, because there was no complaining. It was just getting the job done. It was really encouraging to see the team work so well for that extended holiday. It was amazing. Great job. And I wanted to question the mobile village water that was in the mobile village that gets up there because the flap valve is closed at the airport. Did we crank the valve closed at the transition from the 60 to the 72 inch? Did we close that off?
No, we left that open. That's the 60 inch valve by the airport. Is that what you're referring to?
Right.
No, we actually left that open because water wasn't receding backwards from the river because of the flapper valve. We tried that concept back in the 2017 flood, and it actually did more, I don't want to say damage, but it was more of a liability than it was an asset. So at this point, I decided to leave that valve open. That way, any particular drainage that could be done, it would do it. That was a decision that was made based on previous experience.
Okay, so just for everybody's edification, the detention basin at Murrieta Gardens is the collecting point of the overland release when the river gets to the elevation it was. So water went into that basin to the tune of about 2 feet, and then the next day it was all gone. But that limits the amount of water that's on the streets in the mobile village.
I'm sorry. So you're saying that the drainage not only goes down that pipe, but also there's other piping that goes to that drainage basin?
It's that basin takes care of more than just that 53 acres. It also takes care of overland release when the drainage ditch that runs between the equestrian center and the ag property, when it gets to the point where it can't go out into the river and it starts backing up, and when you get that flap valve to the point where it has to close because the river's too high, that basin takes care of some of that excess water.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, so I just wanted everybody to be aware that 5 acres could tend to go up 2 or 3 feet, and then the next day it'll be gone. And that was the case. It went up on New Year's Day, and then it was on the second, it was empty again. So I took some pictures, Travis, for your file.
Yeah, I'd like to get with you here a little bit later and kind of so I can get a better understanding of that, if you're okay.
So John, when you say overland flow, you're talking about what doesn't end up in the drainage system, what ends up in the ditches and across.
Right.
across the street.
If all of the drain pipes are 100% full and you can't expel any more water into the river because the river is above the outfall pipes, that the streets don't have anywhere for that water to go. So it ultimately ends up migrating some of it to that 5-acre basin that's next to Murrieta Gardens too, that 5-acre basin.
Yeah.
That's why it's so deep.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now, John, on GIS. It looks like probably when the head pressure gets to a certain level in the river, it'll spill out into that 5-acre area as like a little relief.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice.
Relief valve. That's the word I was looking for. Very good. Very well done. Okay. Got your thesaurus out. Okay, let's move on to the next agenda item. Michael, we've got a memo about the water plan.
Yeah, this is just more of a correspondence FYI that we have. This is just ICC, the Improvements Committee, so it's a correspondence item and FYI. Basically, we've completed contracting with Adkins Madaus. I'm sure that after everybody's done with their, holiday vacations and drowning in the flood, we'll get together and have our kickoff meeting. I was basically, sending the message that we had talked about offline between me and the consultants that we're, a community public process will indeed be integrated in this existing scope, even though it wasn't exactly listed on the scope of work. We don't list every little thing that we do in the scope of work. So this is going to be this public process. We're going to be discussing the format of this public process, how the community input should be provided, the level of involvement. This will be discussion between the district and the consultant moving forward, and then we'll lay out a plan and let everybody know what it is. But I envision no additional contract fee to allow that, at least at this point. It is a time and materials project. There's a fair chance that we could, get done under budget, even with the additional, but there was no really need to redo the whole contract to provide that, because it's our understanding that is going to happen. And it's just more of an FYI.
Very good. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's move on to New Year's Eve storm. Michael?
Okay, well, Travis did a great job both explaining it and actually doing it. I'm basically going to recommend that the staff and the contractors responsible for the, I would say, continued functionality of our infrastructure during the storm be officially recognized by the board with a commendation for their momentous efforts. And I also want to recommend that the community and the board continue to support maintaining our key water and sewer infrastructure. This storm was the largest storm that we've had from the available data that I was able to get from 2007 to current. It was higher than the 2017 event by 1.7 feet at the Michigan Bar Station. Basically, an additional 20,000 CFS was coming down the river at that peak event. As everybody knows, amongst numerous drainage items, crews did respond to infiltration at two separate sewer lift stations. We had 7 utility and operations staff that evening, 5 security staff, an electrical contractor, 2 pumping contractors, and 2 local residents. One that has requested anonymity, and I wasn't able to hear back from the second resident, so I'm just going to assume anonymity would be preferable until I hear differently. So it was really, it was public agency, it was private industry, and it was the local residents all banding together to make sure that we held the line, and gosh, we did. I've been in this business over 25 years, And I was surprised that we did not have a sewage spill. So it's, you know, once again, it's only to the tenacity of our staff and our contractors and our residents that prevented that from happening. It would have been explainable. This would be the one time it probably would have been explainable, but we held the line. We didn't have to explain it. We have identified some potential issues that we need to resolve regarding Main Lift South, stormwater pumping station. For whatever reason, there was a insufficient voltage with the sewer lift station, which is right next to that pump station, insufficient voltage to operate those storm pumps at first. And thank you to that local resident who is going to remain anonymous until they choose not to be, and our staff and our contractor, that we're able to get those adequate voltage supplied to those stormwater pumps. And I don't know what that means yet, but I'm going to find out, because that's concerning, because that basically drains the south. So we were able to get those up and running, which I believe probably prevented a lot of homes from being flooded. Issues at Main Lift North, that was just basically a ragged pump. And usually that's not a big deal at Main Lift North, but when you have all the other pumps currently in operation and needing all pumps at that event, it was an issue. And staff moved quickly and effectively, got that pump deragged, was able to juggle our pumping contractors between Lift Station 6B and Main Lift North to keep that from spilling, because that would have been a really bad spill. I'd mentioned Grand Lease 4-bay filled with sand. You've heard about that. The CIA ditch eroded. I mean, this section of the consumedness was completely inundated, more than it usually is completely inundated every year. It was pretty bad. So once we get through this atmospheric river, we're going to meet with the CIA and come up with a plan for repairing that section. I have done some preliminary investigation with SAC OES, and there is a possibility that we could potentially get some FEMA funding for some of this damage, for things like CIA ditch, for, you know, our overtime, the rentals that we've had to do, the contractors that we had to use. I mean, we're probably going to be into this thing 50 or 60,000. So I'm hoping that we, because the governor did declare this an emergency, that there will be some funding released through FEMA. So I'm working on that. So more on that when I know more. So that'd be nice to be able to retain some of those funds back. There was something else I wanted to discuss that wasn't on here. It's okay. We'll think about it in a second.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, please. Did you have a question?
Yeah, this is Travis again. I forgot to clarify this. During that time, we got a call from SAC OES.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, they had a couple of calls from residents, and that they heard that our drinking water got contaminated by sewer. I got a call from SAC OES about that. I let them know emphatically, and just in case anyone on this committee heard that did absolutely not happen at all. There was zero contamination. There was not even a thought of it even being close for any kind of contamination. So I explained that to SAC OES, and they were happy about it. But just in case that rumor is still out there, that is emphatically not true.
Well, thank you, Travis. I heard that on social, or I heard that was on social media, so it must be true.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you normally, but I'm gonna have to disagree with it this time, sir.
Okay, I'll let you get away with it this time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, actually, it actually worked out in our favor, because While OAS was out, they said, hey, do you need help? And Travis said, yeah, and they sent a pumping contractor out.
Yeah, cool. So I guess the lie turned into something helpful.
It worked out quite well for everyone. Also want to mention security. You know, they also played a role in, you know, manning the South Gate, which is the communication hub through all this, and then manning the gates so the gates could continue to be manned. Three gate and patrol officers worked extended periods, and another gate officer came in on their day off to ensure that the gate stayed open. And some of the officers actually on his day off came in. One of the officers on his day off came in to Ranch Marietta through flooded roads in his 4x4 to ensure that staff is relieved. Now, this is not something that we expect or nor do we recommend. My message to staff is safety first. But this person did come in, and unfortunately, you know, damaged his own vehicle to come in and serve. So that's a very visceral level of service. So we appreciate that. I'm sorry that there was some damage to vehicles, but we do appreciate them coming in. So the following utility employees responded to this event: Travis Bohannon, Ron Greenfield, James Colas, Mario Moreno, Heather Pedro, Ed McCurry, and Ryan Winker. That's most of the operations staff right there. For security, we had Mel Outram come in, Vitaly Perpelka, Karen Hessler, Dave Labrado, and Paul Anderson came in. Following contractors, Prodigy Electric, Edco Pumping, and ABC Pumping. And then, like I said, there was two residents that will remain anonymous until they tell us differently. Just want to thank everybody. These pump station challenges will potentially, some of the challenges that we experienced will be alleviated with our current and continued investment of infrastructure. You know, we're not going to be able to prevent the 200-year flood, but we are going to have, as we move forward in the next couple of years, we're fixing some of the bottlenecks and replacing some of the major issues that we have that will definitely help us be a more robust system. So I also want to appreciate the board and their support in our infrastructure investment.
Well, to the extent that we have funds available, we'll see. Yeah. So I think this is a great idea to formally recognize these people. I would encourage you ask the residents that were helpful. We really like to acknowledge them. So if you can talk to them and ask them, because I mean, people should be recognized when they do something good. We don't do enough of that, and I'm totally in support of this.
Well, that there are for one of the residents, I know there's an extenuating circumstance, but I will keep trying the other one.
Very good, Martin. Anything?
No, I presume that this is going to be an item on the agenda for the board meeting.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, maybe the best way to do it would be to, at the very beginning of the board meeting, before you go into executive session, while the employees are still here, or you know, most of them, we can have them, you know, publicly recognized. I think it would be nice.
That's a good idea, thanks.
Very good. Amelia, any hands or chats on this item?
No chats, but I'll add that to the agenda.
Very good. Thank you, Amelia. Director and staff comments, suggestions. Staff, anything further?
I have nothing left to say.
Okay.
Neither do I.
Martin?
Neither do I.
I do not have anything further either. Thank you all for attending this afternoon, kind of a crazy time, but we made it through the agenda. And so have a great rest of your day. Thanks.
May I have a comment? Next month, we'll all start meeting for the committee meetings in person, and I have reserved a boardroom.
Okay.
So, yeah, we get to see each other again.
Is that a threat or is that a...
Well, it's the community more, Randy, so it's a good thing.
All right, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. We'll see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.